If you don't know anything about finances, the least you know is about checking and a savings account. A checking account to pay your bills and a savings account for rainy days. And this has worked for years. But the sad reality is that as financial advisors plead with investors to do something different, the retirement crisis we warned about is here. On this podcast, we're going to discuss why high-yield savings, even though they're better than traditional savings, they won't save you from working during retirement. We'll also discuss how not preparing now will turn your retirement dream into a nightmare, and three tips on how you can protect yourself on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. Brothers and sisters, when we think of retirement, we think of our golden years. No one dreams of being 71 years old, turning off the alarm at 7 in the morning, getting dressed and driving to work and working an 8-hour shift at a job that pays half of what they used to get just to pay the bills. Unfortunately, this is becoming the new reality for many Americans. Retirement is increasingly becoming a luxury many American workers cannot afford. With rising housing costs and medical expenses, and without the pensions that kept previous generations afloat, many older Americans can't stop working. Why is this? It's because they thought that saving money in a savings account was going to save them, that was going to be enough. But as we discussed in our last episode, it's not enough. But why is this? If you listen to our last episode, we talked about how savings accounts used to yield about 8% from our banks. And we were excited about this yield. Yes, we're making 8%. We're seeing compound interest over and over and over. It is a wonderful experience. But guess what? It wasn't sustainable for the banks. Because as much as we complain about the banks and how they rip people off, there's a business that needs to be run. People say, well, I gave you $1,000. Therefore, you should loan me money at 1% or 2%. Well, they can't do that when they're paying employees to cash their checks. They're transferring money back and forth. They have to pay for computers. They have to pay for lights. It really is a money-intensive business. Now, what we found out was that historically, interest rates started to go down because people were trying to save the banks. Now we're seeing interest rates at 0.06%. What kind of savings rate is that? You have thousands of dollars in a bank and you're getting pennies on the dollar. But for some reason, every time you look at your credit card, it's like $10 charge, $20 charge, $30 charge. It's like, wow, I wish I can get this much money in my savings account. And on the bright side, you can. And I'm going to tell you how to do that later on. Now, another thing is that Social Security doesn't stretch and possible benefit cuts in the future is also putting us at risk. Because traditionally we thought, okay, we get a job, we're going to get some employment. Once we retire, we're going to get Social Security to carry us through retirement, and we are going to be okay. But as we're seeing, the cost of living is rising so fast, and the benefits from Social Security, the COLA, the cost of living adjustment that you receive is not up to par. I mean, we're not able to buy the same things that we want to, and the potential that we're not going to be able to get those payouts in 2035, I talk about that in another episode as well, that's scary. That's scary to think that, okay, I worked, I'm retired, but I may have to go back to work. Things are getting really expensive. I mean, even bubblegum, it used to be 25 cents when I was a kid. Now it's like 35 cents. I think in some places it's even 40 cents with taxes and things of that nature. It's getting very expensive to live. And just putting money in a savings account, you might as well put it in a shoebox. You may have put it into a mattress or something like that. I remember when I used to work at the bank, I used to ask people, I was like, where's your money? And they'll tell me, oh, it's in a mattress or it's somewhere hidden where nobody knows it. I'm like, why don't you put it into the bank? Well, I don't want anyone to know where it's at. And, you know, I'm not getting any interest. And the sad part about it is the interest rates are so low on these savings account. It's almost as if they're putting it into their mattress. But both scenarios are horrible. We don't want to do that with our money. So what can we do? We have to start preparing now. I mean, it's going to be a lot easier to prepare for retirement in your younger years than your older years. Now, don't get me wrong. People are like, well, I'm 50 years old, you know, I'm getting pretty old. I got a lot of aches and my back hurts. And listen, 50 years old is not old at all. Let me do the math for you. You have been an adult since you were age 18. Let's just say 20. Maybe you went to school for a couple of years, right? Now, 30 years later, you're 50 years old. Perfect. Think about this. 30 years from now, you're going to be 80 years old. So 15 years, you're going to retire maybe at 65. And let's say you live another 15 years. That's 30 years. So if you would have saved from 20 to 50, that's the same time you pretty much have to manage your money from 50 to 80. Because we're not just going to stop managing our money once we retire or once we hit 65. It is going to be a continuous process, because if we're not saving for ourselves or managing our money for ourselves, we are properly managing our money for our children. So you may not be able to grow the money as much as you want to, but your legacy will. So you add your 30 years, you pass away, you give it to your kids, they have another 30 years, that money has 60 plus years to grow. And that's where you're going to get generational wealth from. But you have to start now. You can't keep procrastinating till 55, 60, 65, 70. And then when you're 72, I need to do something with my money. It's too late. You're going to have to take too much risk in order to get your goals accomplished. It says the research from labor economist and professor at the New School for Social Research, Teresa Gilarducci, shows that just 10% of Americans between the age of 62 and 70 who are retired are financially stable, 1 out of 10 individuals. Only 10% are financially stable. Some people are living with their children. Some people are borrowing money on a monthly basis. Some people have high credit card debts. Some people are claiming bankruptcy. 1 out of every 10 Americans. That is sad. We do not want our elderly to go through financial hardship, especially if you've been working your whole life, you've raised children, you pass them on, maybe even have grandchildren, and now only 1 out of 10 Americans are actually financially stable. They say most older Americans either are retired and live below the standard of living they had when they were working, or they can't afford to stop working. That means that job is no longer an option. There's no such thing as retirement. It's, I need to do this, or I need to choose between paying my rent or having food. And when you've gone through your life, you shouldn't have to make those type of choices. It says 1 in 2 people reaching retirement won't have enough, and 1 in 4 seniors are in poverty, measured by international standards. Poverty. People have been working their whole life and now they're broke because they didn't prepare. The retirement savings crisis in the United States, once again, is no longer looming. It is here. I'm gonna give you an example. There was, just to keep it anonymous, there was an older American, well, let's just call her Jane. She had to face a frightening and once unthinkable prospect. She had to recognize that the first time in her life, she was poor. She had been working since she was 14. She retired when she was 69, but she said that she couldn't stay retired. After taking a 2-month camping trip to California with her 10-year-old dog, you know, at midnight, she returned home to Texas to look for work. And it's the only way that she could keep living, she said. To live on Social Security alone nowadays is an absolute joke, especially in Texas. So for most of her life, she lived great. She worked as a real estate agent, she was a loan officer, a mortgage processor, so she's around finances. She even owned her own marketing business, right? But with deteriorating health, it made it almost impossible to work full time. So for the past 20 years, she had 15 surgeries. 15 surgeries. So it got so bad that her credit card got up to $18,000, and then she had to literally claim bankruptcy. See, she used to be even a homeowner, but now guess what? She lives in this type of she shed. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's just like a small barn type idea behind her own daughter's home. Realize this, you're only one medical issue away from poverty. When you think about the days of Henry Ford and the assembly line and all that technology that came out of there, employers weren't paying people as far as retirement is concerned. You come, you do the work, you leave, you work until you're 65, 67, and then you die. And that was life. Then as we move a little bit forward, they're thinking, oh, that's not right, right? You're born, you work, you die, or go to the military. That's not a way of living. Make sure that these companies are actually paying for a retirement, because what they were doing, they were letting go of the older generation for new and young and stronger individuals. They're getting rid of their older workforce with nothing to lean back on. So we started developing like 401ks and defined benefit plans and Social Security, things of that nature. But now companies are saying, no, we're not doing that anymore. we're going to provide a 401k, but you're going to have to manage it, right? But now we're getting back to the you need to take care of it idea. Pensions are going away. And I can kind of see both sides, because this new generation is like, well, I'm going to go where I'm going to get the highest pay. I'm not going to give you loyalty. Back then, people used to give you loyalty for security, meaning, hey, I'm going to stick on this job. Okay, well, we're going to keep you even if you mess up, or even if there's a better candidate, we're going to work with you because you've been with us for so long. Then when you retire, we'll give you a lump of money and say thank you for all your kind services. Well, both the employee and the employer seem to kind of break this treaty. Companies didn't want to pay as much in pension, they mismanaged money, they stole some of it, and then employees weren't faithful to the company. They would work a few years and then they'll jump to the next person who gave them a little bit more money. And if this continues, the next generation is going to have it worse. Even though they have more information, literally they have all the information at the tip of their fingers. Now, it may not be the right information, right? I always say this, that Google doesn't provide you with the right information, it just provides you with the available information. So whoever's on the top or whoever appears first, maybe they bought that spot, so it doesn't mean that they're right, or they're just popular. So just because an answer is popular doesn't mean that it's right. So the next time that you're trying to win an argument and you say, hey Google, what do you think? Whatever that answer is may not be right. So always use your discernment. Once again, you are one medical issue away from poverty. She had 15 surgeries. This is not something that she may have planned for or even saved for, and it ruined her life. So a lot of times we save to protect the things that we acquire. We have insurance on our cars, we have insurance on our houses, but we don't really invest a lot of money into our health or prepare for our health. And I think that is one of the things that is most crucial to a financial plan. Because, I mean, eventually you're gonna pay off your house, eventually you'll pay off your car, but when it comes to medical, we don't know how far those expenses are going to go because they technically just continue to increase. If you're sick, if you have cancer, or if you have an autoimmune disease, you know, like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, those bills are going to continue to increase throughout your lifetime. Whether it's for medication, whether it's for doctor visits, or maybe even just to make sure that your body is still functioning the way it is because of natural ages. So how are we going to prepare for this? So here are three tips. And number one is pretty obvious. What you're going to do, you're going to create a financial plan. Why are we going to do this? Is because when you are in good health, you can imagine the worst without feeling bad. A lot of times we want to prepare for death when we are approaching it. A lot of times we want to talk about our future job prospects when we are having a tough time at the job. That's not when you want to plan. You want to plan when you're in good spirits. So if you fear losing your ability to walk because of work or fear of a car accident, you can add additional insurance and it can ease that anxiety. If you're worried about losing a spouse, you can start saving to replace their income. For example, if they make $100,000 a year, and you're afraid that you're gonna need 5 to 10 years to recover from this passing, you may get a policy for $500,000 or $1 million. That makes sense. It's going to lower your anxiety, right? If you want to move to another state during retirement, you can determine the cost of living. You could look at the housing market, you look at the education system and say, is this where I wanna raise my family? Or is it close to my family? Maybe your children want to move and you wanna make sure that you have the money available to up and go closer to your grandchildren. Number two, you're going to speak to a professional. Now, whether you hire an advisor or just a consultation, don't do it on your own. It says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, that plans without counsel fail, but those with many counselors will succeed. And the Bible is telling you that, listen, you don't have to do this on your own. Lean not on your own understanding. There are people that do this day in and day out that can help you. Now, once again, you don't necessarily have to hire a financial advisor. You may just need to get a consultation. Maybe you want to do it yourself and that's fine. But a majority of investors don't. And as we see with this generation, when left to our own devices, people are not taking the proper steps. That's why one out of every 10 retirees are living in poverty. Not because they're not smart. The individual we talked about earlier, she was a loan officer, she was a mortgage processor, very intelligent. But when it came to finances, that's where she fell off. And number three is you have to start investing. Once you paid off your debt, covered your monthly expenses, and created a nest egg for emergency, it's time to put your money to work. You have to understand that inflation and interest rates are compounding. That means that your money should be compounding as well, or you are going to be losing. You know, once again, when you look at your credit card statement and you're seeing $10 and $20 and $30 interest charges piling up and your balance is increasing and increasing without you even using it, that's how investing works as well. You have the opportunity to compound the money that you put in. You're not going to be able to keep up with the cost of living when inflation is going up by 4.7% or something like that, and your money's only growing at 0.06. You can do the math. You are going to lose hands down over and over again. Okay. So if you're struggling to get started and you need some help, make sure that you schedule some time to speak with me. I'll have a link of our website in the description. The consultation is free and there's no obligation. We really just want to hear your story so we can help you prepare today so you don't fall victim to the silent killer, inflation, and you don't have to go back to work when you're retired. So you can retire and you can stay retired. I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional. So whether you have $1,000 in a bank or $5 million in a bank, we can help you. Just go to www.abrwealthmanagement.com, schedule a consultation with us, and we would love to hear from you. Also, if you're still on the fence and want to understand the impact of inflation, which we call the silent financial killer, and how that will impact your finances, I want you to check out episode number 290, Old Saving Strategies Are Outdated. Do this instead. The whole spend less and save more is not going to cut it nowadays. And I kind of break that down for you so you can be more equipped to understand how to use that savings account. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.